Welcome to another message from Charles Millett Ministries. For more information, contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.
It's great expectations on your radio.
Get clear.
Let's get clear, y'all.
Get focused.
Let's get focused.
Get moving. Great expectations.
With the Bishop
Charles Millett.
Yeah. With the Bishop
Charles Millett.
You're rocking with the Bishop
Charles Millett. Great expectations.
For the sake of our time together, I've already, you know, really prayed over the word and everything. It's already blessed. God's already spoken to us. We have been, y'all, this is liberating. Your whole life is about to shift again. I said your whole life is about to shift again. What did I say? Let's try it once again. Look at your neighbor and say,
I don't care
where you've been and how long you've been there or how long you've been waiting. Your whole life is about to shift again. That, listen, y'all, you are in a prophetic moment right now. And God is birthing something for you. And the only thing you got to do is believe it. And God says, it's already done. Faithfulness, the key to increase, is this series of teachings. We talked about faithfulness, the key to increase, part one and part two. Today, we're going to talk about faithfulness. And we're going to talk about tithes and we're going to talk about offerings. And your life is about to shift again. I have taught some remarkable things over the years. I've taught some very liberating things over the years. But I believe in all of my heart where we are now and what's about to happen. We've never been here before. And we are about to embark upon what God has been promising you for the last 10, 12 years. Your life is about to shift again. Faithfulness. We have foundational scriptures that are found in Matthew 25, 28 through 30. These scriptures are associated with a landowner or master or even the Lord who had gone to his three servants and had entrusted each of them with talents based on their capacity to manage. And he goes to one and gives him five and he doubles the five. He goes to another, gives him two, he doubles the two. He goes to another, gives him one. The one who he's given one takes it and does nothing with it. The story goes that the servant or the master or the Lord came back and began to examine what he had entrusted to his servants. And he went to the servant that he'd given five talents to and he doubled it, made it 10. He said, you've done well. I'm very proud of you. You've taken what I've given you and you've multiplied it. He went to the one that he gave two. He said, you've doubled yours too. I'm very proud of you. You're good. You're a faithful servant. Then he went to the servant that had one, and the one that had one was so excited to see him come. He said, I couldn't wait for you to get here. I'm ready to give my report too. He says, I sure wasn't going to lose what you gave me. I was going to make sure I took care of it. So I took what you gave me and I went and buried it. I literally did nothing with it. I didn't lose it, Lord. I didn't lose it, Lord. I just didn't do nothing with it. I didn't lose it, Lord. I didn't lose it, Lord. I didn't lose it, Lord. I didn't do nothing with it, but I didn't lose it, Lord. And the Lord said, you are unprofitable and you're wicked. Because you should have taken what I gave you and managed it better than you did. And these passages of scripture is where it picks up. And he begins to say this. Take therefore the talent from him that had the one that did nothing with it and give it unto him that had 10 talents. There's a reason for that. Verse 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. And he shall have abundance. Everyone who's been given something and you do something with it, you manage it. And you do with it like God tells you to do, abundance is coming. But for him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. To the one that I've even given something to do something with and you do nothing with it, it's going to be taken from you. You'll stand and watch others pass you by every day. He says, I'm going to cast ye that unprofitable servant. God called him unprofitable because God is a venture capitalist. He expects a return on his investment. God is not a waster. He says they're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're not going to want to be in that environment. And from that today, I want to connect the dots and quickly connect you with what our thought process, our working definition is concerning faithfulness. These are the ingredients. These are the qualities. These are the characteristics that are found in a person that says, I'm faithful. Touch your neighbor and tell them, I'm faithful. Now, I want you to know if you're not, you better speak the truth in advance and say, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. Okay, that's what prophecy is too, speaking the truth in advance. All right? And faithfulness is the ability to be thorough in your performance of service, in particular your service to God. But we have so many other areas of service and all of the other areas of service because of our relationship with God. We do everything as unto God. Satan does not want you to get this revelation, does not want you to get this insight because your life is about to shift again. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. You don't have to duck. You don't have to dodge. You want to sit right in the midst of this teaching and let the spirit of liberation rest upon you. It is to be steady, to be reliable, to be trusted, to be loyal. Faithfulness is to be devoted, to be honest, to be dependable. These are the qualities that God wants us to have as a result of being people who are faithful. Now, I wish to God that everybody would receive, everybody would submit, everybody would commit themselves to this level of teaching, but unfortunately, everyone won't. It's amazing how people can sit under the same anointing in the same building and hear the same word from the same God, from the same Bible, and leave the church and one person get blessed and another one nothing happens. And that is because they all hear the same word under the same anointing at the same place from the same Bible, but some go down and mix it with faith and it profits them, and others go down and they do nothing with it. They don't mix it with faith and it doesn't profit them at all. So, y'all, you can't be sidetracked. You can't be persuaded. You can't be discouraged by those who are unwilling to serve God and walk out their call to be faithful. You can't be sidetracked by that, right? And then in the midst of all of that, there's a thread that holds all of our teachings together, and it is this question that we all must ask ourselves and we must answer. What are you going to do that will be different? In other words, you got to do something with the time you've got. You got to use the time you've got, and you got to do something with it. What am I going to do that will be different? I will hear this word. I will experience this anointing. God will speak to my heart. My life is about to shift again, but what is it that I will do different? Everyone that God has permitted to be on this planet, in this earth realm, has been given a primary responsibility, and that primary responsibility is the management of resources. And God gives to you based on your capacity to manage. And based on your capacity to manage. In other words, what you do with what God gives you that you have now will determine what you will do with what God gives you that will be more. And God uses what you got now to develop your capacity to handle, to manage more. God knows exactly what he's doing in our life. God took Adam and placed him in the garden, put him there to till it, to keep it, not just to have fun, not just to have a good time, but to manage the resources. And wherever God has placed you, God has placed resources around you. Wherever he's placed you, wherever you're living, where I don't care if you're staying with your aunt, there's resources around you. Wherever you're working, it may not be the job that you really want to be on, but there are resources around you. Wherever you're volunteering, wherever you're serving, wherever you're going to church, there are resources around you. And God expects you and I to manage the resources that he's placed around us. So what is it that God uses actually to measure our capacity to manage? It is very simple. It's not complicated. The formula is right there in the Bible. He that is faithful over that which is little will be faithful over much. He that is faithful over unrighteous mammon will not be faithful over the true riches. He that is faithful over that belongs to another man will be faithful of his own. That is when God can give you your own, when you demonstrate how faithful you are of another's, over another person's property. And if you haven't been here for the other services, you want to get the CDs and the DVDs so you can get caught up. So you don't have to look far to look for the formula that God will use to determine whether or not you will be faithful, or what is your capacity to actually manage. What you're doing with what you've got now will be what you will do when you get more if you don't change. From that, I want to talk to you about what the tithe is. The tithe means a tenth. It means one out of every 10 things that God blesses you with, or a tenth, or one out of every 10 that everything that God adds or increases or places in your life. God said that's the tithe. It's the tenth. And it's supposed to be off all of your increase, everything that God asks you. And God said, one out of every 10 that I give you belongs to me. God said, that is mine. It belongs to me. Now I want to go over and look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 12. And it's all going to connect and make sense. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, return unto me, return unto me. You want to underline that. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. And I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, Lord, where have we wandered away? Where have we drifted? Where have we allowed our life to go that we're not where we should be with you? And God says, okay, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, God, how have we robbed you? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And as a result of it, you are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. This is how you come back. This is how you return. This is how you get me to return to you. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. You want to underline that. Prove me now. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. But it doesn't stop there. The Lord says, I know this system works, but not only do I know it works, but the devourer knows it works. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you what? Blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith who? Saith the Lord of hosts. So God says one tenth, the tithe, it belongs to me. God doesn't say, well, you can give it to me if you want to. He did not say, will you bring it to me, please, if you like to. He said, no, one tenth, the tithe, belongs to me. He lays and stakes claim on what's his. And normally when you hear about the tithe, a lot of people that don't understand and are not sure, and then some of out of tradition and out of custom, when you hear the word tithe, they say, oh yeah, that's what you give to the church, or that's what you pay to the church, right? No, you don't pay your tithe to the church. The tithe is not something you just give to the church. The tithe is what you give to God. The church is the place that receives the tithe on the behalf of God. Why? Because the church is a place where you come to experience the presence of God. It is a place where you come to hear the word of God. It is a place where you come to receive revelation that prospers you, advances you. It's the place where you come to allow God to increase, enlarge, and even expand your life. So when you hear people say, oh, the church, that's a place where you go and that's where you give your tithes to. No, Look at your neighbor and say, we give our tithes to the Lord. Say, the church is the place where God gives you and teaches you his word. It's the place, y'all, where you're nourished. It's the place where you give your tithe to. This is the house of God. This is where you bring it. And in return, the church takes the tithe and the offering and ministers to its members and to the community. That's what the church does. So you're bringing it and you're giving it to God and not just to the church. Bring ye the tithe into mine house, so there'll be meat, there'll be food in my house, saith the Lord. And when you don't bring God the tithe, that's trouble. When you don't bring him a tenth, God looks at your faithfulness over the $100. What you do with the $10 out of the $100 determines what you will do if God gives you $1,000. And God uses the $100. Please hear me. God uses the $100. What are you saying, Bishop? Whatever God has entrusted you with now is a test. Wherever you are right now is your test to see what you will do if you get more. It is not getting more that will show God what you will do. You ever heard people say, Lord, they done got a little money, done gone to the head. Lord, they done got a little money and money done changed. Lord, it sure done changed since they got that money. Money doesn't change you. No, money doesn't change you. Money only magnifies who you already are. If you were struggling with a little money, you're just going to struggle more when you get more money. If you were already unfaithful with a little bit, you're only going to be more unfaithful with more. Look at your neighbor and say, what you possess right now and what you're doing with it is what God is using as a test to see if you're ready for more. And you're cursed with a curse if you touch it because it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us, y'all. It belongs to God. Which means if God stakes claim on it according to what he's done in Malachi here, that means that you and I don't get to negotiate the tithe. You don't get to cut a deal with God. You don't get to give God a tip. You don't get to decide what you're going to do with your tithes. You don't choose who you're going to give your tithes to because your tithes belong to God. And you bring them to the church because the church is a legal place. It's the place where you're nourished. It's the place where you're fed the word of God. Now, you can give any amount that you want to whoever you want, whenever you want. You can give any material blessing to whoever you want to give it to, whenever you want to give it to them. You can do that, but you can't do that with the tithe. You don't get to take the tithe and give it to your uncle. You can't take the tithe and buy your sister baby Pampers. You can't take the tithe and give it to your aunt because she don't have enough money to buy her medication. You can do whatever you want to do with your offering. But you can't do what you want to do with your tithe because it belongs to God. And when you put your hand on what is sacred, when you put your hand on what belongs to him, when you put your hand on what's set aside for him, then you curse yourself. You deprive yourself. In other words, God says, when you take what's mine, then I'm going to take whatever I want from you. Because I gave you $100 and I said, give me the $10 and you keep the 90. God says, you give me the $10 out of the 100 and I'm going to use the $10 and bless the rest of the 90. Now look at that. A gambling man would love those odds. 10 to 90. And we say, well, God, Lord, have mercy. I want to give you the 10, but I need the 10. I can't afford to lose. I got this going on. Lord, and Lord said, the very thing you're trying not to do is what you're creating. You're trying not to lose. You're trying not to get behind. You're trying not to get in a hole. And you're doing exactly what you're trying not to do by touching what's sacred. He says, if you give me what belongs to me, bitch, what are you talking about giving what belongs to me? I'm the one to go to work every week. I'm the one to put in all those hours. When I get my check every week, every 2 weeks or once a month, it's my name on that check and I work hard for my money. I did that. That's my money. Yeah, you're right. You did work. You did put in the hours. It is your name on the check. It is your money, but the resources came from God. What do you mean? What if you go to bed the night before it's time to go to work and you don't wake up that morning for work? Or let's say you do wake up that morning for work, but when you get ready to get up, you can't move. All right, let's say you do wake up and you can move. Let's say you get in the car and you get to work and then you get there and you don't even have the mental capacity to do your job. What are you saying? All of the resources that came to you were a result of what God did for you. God is the one that is responsible. God. You say, well, Lord, as soon as I get out of this hole, as soon as it get better, as soon as I turn this thing around, God, in 2 weeks, I'm gonna be back where I can, me and you gonna be right. No, you don't get out of a hole to start doing right. You don't wait for things to get better to start doing right. No, the reason you're in a hole and the reason that they're not better is because you're not doing what's right. You do what's right while you're in a hole. You do what's right while things are not better. And that's what gets you out of the hole. That's what turns the tide. The tithe, the tenth, it belongs to God. We don't get to negotiate that. I don't care how you twist, flip, and turn the Bible. You're not going to be able to dodge that. Faith, and God expects us to be faithful over what belongs to Him. And what I found out, Minister Marvin, one of the greatest things that people lose, born again believers, children of God, it's amazing because folk are not even saved, Dr. Johnson, and they will work this system and it works. And then people that are saved play with the system and lose their benefits. The greatest thing that I found that believers lose when you touch what belongs to God is there's a loss of creative ideas. There's a loss of your creativity. Your thinking gets stumped where you're just spinning. Your sense of direction and what to do with your money, what to do with your life, where to invest, how to save. God will do ridiculous stuff like tell you where to go eat. Well, what in the world is why in the world I gotta be worried about where to go eat at? What's tithe got to do with where to go eat at? Because the place that God is telling you to eat is the place the person is sitting at that's got the key to the door that your daughter's trying to get in. God will do things like tell you where to go buy your car. You won't even have to call the bishop and go to the altar and get him to agree with you in prayer on the car. I mean, God will tell you. Creative ideas, resources, how to invest, when to invest, what to do. It flows when you give God what belongs to Him. The Bible says you bring the tithe, you release the tithe, you give God what belongs to Him. And the Bible says the windows of heaven are open over your life. Windows, plural. Heaven is a place that's got all of these windows like these panels. And God said, with every window, there is a blessing. Whatever you need in your life, there's a window for it. And in that window is a blessing you need. is coming. And it's coming in more ways than you have room to receive. Well, Bishop, well, I don't know. I'm not sure about this, but I got this. No. 15 minutes ago, you were decreeing and declaring and receiving that prophetic moment where you said it's already done. Now, when God talks to you about his tenth, his tithe, what belongs to him, you can't reverse and say, I wonder if I can do it. You got to say, guess what? Look at your neighbor and say, if it'll work for your body, if it'll work for your children, if it'll work for your business and your ministry, it'll work for your finances. Say, it's already done. It's already done. There's a window. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a window. Who said it again? Say, there's a window that's already open. When you give God what belongs to him and say that window is packing your blessing. But will a man rob God? Yeah, you rob me. What do you mean you rob me? It's like, can I get deep for a moment? But I mean, it's deep where it's God. Okay. Look at them and say, he's going to get deep. And it's going to be so God, but he's going to put it in a language that homie can understand. You can't take your tithe and go buy weave. Because God says you're cursed with a curse. Now you take the tithe and go buy weave, go to the beautician, let her put it in. And then you walking around having these bad thoughts. And you're wondering why. Because you got something attached to your head that's cursed. You wonder why you can't sleep. No, serious. Stay with me now. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with him now. Say, put your seatbelts on. Your child getting ready to go to school. You take the tithe money and go buy some clothes. Now you take your innocent child. Send your child off to school with clothing. Oh, you done got deep now. You need to mind your business. Now you know you done crossed the line now. Now you didn't have to go there. You could have went anywhere but there. It's like I can hear your thoughts. Look at your neighbor and say, God's trying to help us. Tell them it's already done. And now your child is walking around with clothes on that you use God's money to buy. And you're wondering why the devil is after your child. Now this is a good time to be looking at the Bible like you're really looking at the scripture and, you know, looking at what the word mean and everything, then look back up. So, you know, I'm with you. I feel you. This is not designed to condemn you, make you, oh, Lord, look out. No. This word is to liberate you. This is not a word that come to make us feel ashamed, make us feel embarrassed. God sends his word to heal you. God don't need to expose you. He already know where we are. You can't take God's tithe and on your way to church stop at Dunkin' Donuts and get a chocolate donut and then come to the house of God and sit up in here listening to me preach with a stolen donut in your belly. And then you be wondering why halfway through the message you got the bubbling ministry. Can't do it. It's the equivalent robbing God. It's like, let me see a tithe envelope or just anybody got an envelope? Yeah, thank you so much. It's the equivalent of when it comes time to give, you get in the tithe line knowing your tithe should be $100 and you got a dollar. And you're walking in and you get ready to put it in the bucket. I need somebody that like you taking an offering. Yeah. Come on, man. I just want to illustrate. Pray, look. Yeah, just pretend. There you go. Yeah, use your imagination. See, this is what happens when you're tithe. You don't have to have a bucket. You know, it just you just feel stuff. You come in, you're getting ready to give your tithe. You know it should be 100, right? But it's how much? A dollar. And you get ready to give it, then you go, stick them up, God. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know what you're supposed to get, but you ain't getting it. No, don't say nothing back to me. You're going to take what I give you. That's all I got right now. That's all you're going to get. And I mean what I say. And by the way, here, take it. And you better bless my child. Oh, it's got deep now. But that's what you're doing. You're robbing God. And if somebody comes and wrongfully takes from you what belongs to you, what kind of emotions do you have? How violated do you feel? I mean, like, you sitting in church and your purse is there and a visitor sitting right beside you and go to just reach over there and get your purse. And you're all, well, praise the Lord. Let me know if it's anything in there that you're looking for that's not there. Oh, come on. No, come on. Come on. No, come on. You come home, God forbid, and somebody up in your house that don't supposed to be there. Oh, it's good to see you. No, you start to go through all kind of stuff because you feel violated. Why do we think God is not touched by what we do? When he's telling you, I am touched by what you do, and when you touch me where I'm not supposed to be touched, I feel it and I'm going to touch you back. You curse with a curse because you robbed me. Now, just because you come home, God forbid, and the thief is in the house, please listen to me. Just because you come home and a thief or a robber is in the house, that don't mean they own the house. That just means they need to be put out. Just because you come up in the place where the blessings are, don't mean you own the blessings. You'll be right up in there where the blessings are at and have no access to them. This is good stuff, ain't it? Oh, look at them say, this is liberating right here. Say, your life is about to shift again. And you come home, you own the house, but there's a robber and they say, look here, I don't know how you got up in here. I don't know what you're doing up in here, but you got to go. And that's what the word of God comes to do. He says, look here, y'all are my children, but the spirit that just done crept up in here with you, that spirit got to go. And God says, I said, Lord, this is going to be kind of tight and kind of tough. The Lord said, you tell them what I said. You teach them what I'm giving you to teach them. Because if you think, Charles, you can pray off of them what I put on them, you're mistaken. Now that kind of got me. Now listen, y'all, a lot of folk, you know, you ain't been faithful, you ain't been doing what's right, you ain't been doing it the way you should have been doing. And honest God, you know, you so far behind, you can't catch up. So the best thing for you to do is repent. Just repent, get the slate clean, start over, start off right. Say, God, I'm sorry that I doubted you. Sorry, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Sorry, I didn't honor you, but I heard your word today. I heard your word today. I heard your word today. Faithfulness is the key to increase, and I'm going to start walking in obedience. I'm going to start giving you what's yours. I'm going to start doing right now. The tide is going to turn. I'm going to place this. I'm going to approach it from a place of already being done, and my life is about to shift again. And God wants to elevate you. He wants to bless you. He wants to increase you. God wants to give you the raise. He wants to give you the promotion. He wants to give you what you don't even qualify for. But God is saying, I'm looking at what you're doing with what I already have given you. And the way you are managing what I've already given you, you're already telling me, don't give that to me. The tithe. The tenth. It belongs to God. You give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And I hear people say, Bishop, when it really comes down to it, it's where your values are. It's what you value. And see, what I need to know is, what value do you place on what God gives you? What is the value that you and I place on what God gives us? God tells us what his value is. His value is a tenth. His value is the tithe. And this is a PowerPoint you need to get. Whatever God values is what we have to value. So the tenth is God's value system. So his value system must also be our value system. It has to line up with God. Why? Because we're partners with God. We're in partnership with him. And in partnership, each party is expected to do their part. God's going to do his part, and we got to do our part. It's his value system. And when God increases you, when God blesses you, when God adds to your life, the first fruit, the first tenth, the tithe belongs to God. And the devil and that little small voice will tell you, well, what if it don't work? What if it don't work? God says, try me. Prove me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven. I'll open this up to you. He challenges us as his children to prove him. And God challenges us and places a demand on us to give because of our need. He has the supply, to supply all of our needs. And this is a system that God actually put in place. Well, Bishop, should I tithe off the gross? Should I tithe off the net? What's the right thing to tithe off of? It is so very interesting when it comes down to talking about, you know, increase and giving and faithfulness. It's the most interesting thing, because you can go to the grocery store, and before you leave the grocery store with the grocery, they're going to talk to you about the offering. You go to the restaurant, sit down and eat, be through, pick it in your teeth. Before you walk out, they're going to talk to you about the offering. Are you listening to me? You go down at a Walmart, fill up the buggy. You can find all the little blue light and red light specials. But before you leave, they're going to talk to you about the offering. But you come to church. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Lord, here we go again. Why the church? See, everybody can talk to you about the offering but the preacher. But you don't go to the restaurant and be leaving there. I don't know why y'all got all these prices up here about what everything costs and all. I don't even know why y'all charging. No, you go through the line and the folks say, that offering will be $24.10. Will this be debit or credit? Oh, this is credit. This is debit. Oh, this will be cash. And we be in the line. Oh, you paying? No, I'm paying. You got the ticket? No, I got the ticket. This on you. Oh, I got everybody put on my ticket. Oh, one ticket, two tickets. Blah, 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 blah. Then you come to church. Not me, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me. It's amazing. Everybody can talk to you about the system of giving except God. And God has the main system whereby your life will be blessed and transformed. Yeah, that's a good place to give God a praise. So should I tithe off the net or should I tithe off the gross? Well, listen for just a moment. If you get paid every week, every 2 weeks, once a month, okay? If you haven't noticed it, I want you to take notice of this. When you get your check, the government done took their tithe off the top. And their tithe be like 30%. You hear me? I mean, it be like 30%. And you can't go to the government, you get your check. Now look here now, you know, I this been a little rough week. We've been going through a little bit. It's been kind of like a tight month. And on that tithe, I'm going to need to get back with you. They'll be, oh, no, man. No. Before you ever get to sing your sad story, we taking that off the top. So they tithe gone already. Now, Lord, I'm going to need to get back with you. No. And guess where the government takes their tithe from? The gross. They don't take it from the net. They take it from the gross. Then we want to make God's system subject to the government system. So we say, God, you're going to have to pay for what they're taking from me. But you the one, the government ain't making you no promises. They trying to take it and they want you to get nothing back. They cut all your deductions off the return and everything. You can't hardly get nothing back. And the very few things that you're able to get back, like you get your child credits and you get some educational credits and you get credits for like your interest loan with your home and stuff like that. And then you get 100% deduction from the church. It's the most amazing thing, right? It's like, let's just say you give $10,000 in tithes and offering to the church. At the end of the year, most of y'all want a tax form. You know why you want a tax form? I'm glad you want to know. Because you want to tell the government, give me back what I gave to the church. But the Lord already is blessing you on top of what you're doing every week. And you're wondering, should you pay from the net or the gross? If you're working for the company, look at your neighbor and say, keep looking up. We're almost done. Now, I know this is like Castor. Y'all, you know, you young folk don't know nothing about Castor. Y'all know about that. That's the stuff grandma and them, great grandma and them, they used to get that, you know, that stuff, you see like you swallowing grease. That stuff be so. See, some of y'all looking like, what's Castor? What's that? See, y'all got this stuff now where they got cherry flavor, grape flavor, lemon flavor, chocolate X-Lax. Y'all got this stuff where it's flavored down. Back in the day, man, that Castor tastes terrible. I mean, you be gagging on that stuff, man. It tastes terrible going down, but once it get down in there, oh, you're going to praise the Lord now. Oh, there's going to be a revival. There's going to be a worship service. Now, I can tell you that right now. Somebody's coming to the altar. Somebody's going to get delivered. There's a devil coming out somewhere. Now, see, you young folk, y'all don't know nothing about that. You wouldn't think, but in my day, yeah, Castor, we had a room with a pot. That was a bathroom. You take that Castor, you be somewhere in 30 minutes looking for some leaves. Y'all don't know nothing about that. You got no idea. Y'all are so blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, you so blessed it don't make no sense. Y'all got Charmin and all the other stuff, Scott, everything. God been good to y'all. We had notebook paper, newspaper, leaves. in my lifetime. You take that castor oil, it's going to be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Look at your neighbor and say, God going to use somebody. I'm trying to tell you now. What if you went to the company and the company said, Lord, we done made a lot of money this year and everybody getting a bonus. How many of y'all would say, pray the Lord? Let me see your hand if you say, praise the Lord. I see some of y'all ain't lifting your hand. You ain't expecting your company to do nothing. See, you be it done unto you according to your faith. Let me ask you again. How many of y'all have your... All right. And the company say, you know what? We made some extra money and everybody getting a bonus. And we say, praise the Lord. Do you want them to give you the bonus off the gross or the net? Yeah. Touch your neighbor and say, you want the gross ministry. Now listen to me. If you honor God with the gross, you'll get rid of these gross problems. If you honor God with the gross. Don't make God pay for what the government is doing. Well, Bishop, but what, Lord, have mercy, I tell you the truth, I'm barely, this one guy got this place I go to, and every time I go there, I don't even like him to ask me how I'm doing. Because he asked me how I'm doing, then I asked him, I'm barely. So I thought if I would just stop asking him how he's doing, I'd get out of it. Now he got to where he asked me how I'm doing, and I tell, oh man, God is amazing, God is good, God is wonderful. He said, well, I ain't even asked him nothing. Well, Bishop, but see, that's what God says. Try me, prove me. I don't care if you ain't making but $10. And you've been paying the tithe off $7. I double dog dare you to try God, to prove God. Listen, you're only talking 30 cents more. God says, try me with 30 cents more with the hole you're in and see what'll happen. Prove me, see if I will not. I dare you to touch two people and tell them it's already done. It's already, oh, come on now. Say it's already done. It's already done. Don't choke over this thing now. Don't choke over it. Don't let it get you where you can't breathe. This is God speaking. And that's what God is saying. It's tight in your house. It feels like your head is under. It feels like you can't make it. It feels like it's not working out. And God said, try me. Prove me. See what I'll do. God will flip it. But you got to try him. You got to prove him. I want to conclude with this. Is this helping anybody? I said, is this helping anybody? Now, in your leisure, you can go read that scripture about Job. But in particular, what it's talking about is Job was a man of God. We're not going to go there. But Job is a man of God. He had friends that were people that honored God. But Job went through a situation in his life where the devil told God, I'll take Job under. Job been honoring you, and Job been serving you, and Job been tithing, and Job been faithful. He says, but I'll take Job underwater, and I promise you, before Job come up, he'll cuss you. And God said, try him. Try him. Take him underwater, but you can't take his life. And Job's friends, who were people of God too, they put their mouth on Job. And they said, Job, it must be something wrong with your relationship with God. Because there's no way you can be serving God and being faithful and tithing and have your head go underwater. There's no way, Bishop, that you can listen to God and put on a conference and believe God at the magnitude you did it and then come out of it in the hole. There's no way you can do that. Not when you live. It must be something you didn't do right. You must have missed something. Something must have went south. And God told the devil, you can do what you want to do, but you can't kill him. And Satan went forth and started touching everything that Job had. And I mean, Job's head was underwater. And his friend said, is something wrong with your relationship with God? Because there's no way that your relationship with God could be intact and you got this going on in your life. And even his own wife came in the kitchen and said, I ain't never seen you like this. I don't know what you done, but you need to just go ahead and abandon what you got with God. And Job said, underwater, you sound like a fool. You sound like a fool. Something wrong with you. And see, the point that I want to bring out is his friends, Dr. Johnson, misjudged him and put their mouth on him. Because they said, there's no way you can be serving God and be going through something. But what they didn't realize is that Job's relationship with God was intact, but God was increasing him. And God was saying, I'm going to show Satan, I don't care what you do to him, he's more faithful to me. He's more faithful to me than what you'll try to do. In other words, God was literally saying this, you can do whatever you want to do to him, but Job is a man that I can trust with trouble. Job is a man, I'm done, that I can trust with tragedy. Job is a man that I can trust with disappointment. He's a man I can trust with pain. There's some stuff that you've gone through that God didn't even put on your unsaved neighbor. And you wonder why God didn't give it to them. They are heathen and I'm living for you. And God say, I put it and allowed it to be on you because I can trust you with it. I can't trust your certain things y'all have been through. You've been through it because God knew he could trust you. And another person in church, you get laid off and you're a faithful tither and God will trust you with a layoff slip. And then somebody sitting three rows back don't ever pay their tithes and get a good job every time they lose one. You know why? Because God can't trust them with nothing. But God, look at your neighbor and say, what is it that you've been through while you've been living for God? What is it that you've been through when you had moments when your head was underwater and God trusted you with a drowning moment? Look at your neighbor and say, God, snatch me back. Come on, you better say it like you mean it. Say, God, snatch me back. I listen to the stories, to the testimonies, what God has done. God, snatch me back. And they said, Job, you done messed up, man. And you know what Job did? Job started praying for all of his enemies. And the Bible said when he started praying for those that put their mouth on him, God gave him double for his trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, what are you going to do if you have a head underwater moment? Job started praying and God turned it and flipped it. And God gave him double for his trouble. But you got to try him. You got to prove him. You got to trust him. You got to see if God will not do what he said he would do. Let me give you this final scripture found over in Isaiah, y'all. And I want to give it to you from the Living Translation, Isaiah 1 and 19. This is so amazing. This is so amazing. This is so amazing. This, what did I say it is? Touch your neighbor and say, it's amazing. Let's try it again. It's amazing. All right, everybody read this. Go ahead. Try it again a little louder with some authority. Come on, one time a little louder. And this is my question for you. What more does God have to do to get you to let him help you. What more does God have to do to get you to obey? And y'all need to get comfortable saying that last word. I know you don't use it much, but what is it?
Rich.
Try it again.
Rich.
Look at your neighbor and say, rich looks good on you. I can say, let's rebuke the spirit of lack and folk lack, break the back, lack, rebuke, rich,
come rich.
Touch your neighbor and say, God wants to make you rich. Come on, y'all didn't say it right. Come on. Rich in your marriage, rich in your body, rich in your finances, rich in your ministry, rich with your children, rich in your college, rich in your business, rich in all of your ways, rich in your turnaround, rich when you get up, rich when you lay down, rich when you go out, rich when you come in, rich when you're above water, rich when your head is underwater. God said, if you will let me help you. And I want the people who are willing to let God to help them to stand up. Whew. Look at your neighbor and say, good stuff.
Good stuff.
So I'm going to give you one more chance to read this scripture and read it loud so the devil can hear you read it. Go ahead, read it. One more time, come on. Praise him for it right there. Praise him for it right there.
Charles Millett Ministries would like to thank you for listening to this message. We pray that the favor of God continues to elevate your life. Our mission is to get clear, get focused, and get moving. If you want more information about our ministry, please contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.
Yeah, you on with the Bishop
Charles Millett.
Yeah, with the Bishop
Charles Millett.
You're rocking with the Bishop
Charles Millett. Great Expectations.